This morning, I would like to take you into a book of one of those four Gospels, and I would like to invite you to have your book, your Bible, open to the book of Mark. You know that those four Gospels, and we ask ourselves the question, why do we need to have four Gospels? It's because there are four groups of people that they are targeting. And Mark is a small book, and it is very important. I would just want to bring to your attention a few things, and our study today will be deep into the text. Okay? That's why I don't do scripture reading. If you look at only chapter 1 of Mark, you will have a feeling of the nature of the man. You will have the feeling of the personality of that man. Let us read a few verses and you will see, and I would like to ask you to tell me what is recurring, what is the word that comes back and forth. Chapter 1, verse 10. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Verse 12, immediately the Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness. Verse 20, immediately he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. Verse 21, they went into Capernaum and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach. Verse 29, and immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Verse 30. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And the last verse, which is verse 43. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. What is the word that is coming back and forth? Immediately. So, Mark is a writer that doesn't lose time. Okay? Quickly, here. So, he's just reporting things and he doesn't have time to linger on one thing. Let's move on. So, if you read the book of Mark, you will see that there are 40 times the word immediately comes back. So, which means that we have a gospel that is very important, a gospel that is asking us, let's move on. And I do understand that you want to move on, correct? Very good. Now, I would like to read the verse that will be the basic for our sermon today. And then we will move on immediately to other things. Happy with that? You agree with me? Very good. The verse is found in chapter 1. And we are going to read verse 1 and 2 and 3. Because it is in the same package. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it was written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I sent my messenger ahead of me, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Whom do the prophet Isaiah is referring to? John the Baptizer. Okay? Because his name is not John the Baptist. Because he was baptizing, that's why people acknowledge him as the one baptizing. That's how it came, John the Baptist. So, why? How do we know that this is John? He's talking about John the Baptist. How do we know that? Because he's preparing the way. Now, let me give you a little hint. When you study the New Testament, every time, as you study the New Testament, if there is a reference of an Old Testament passage, we have to go back into the Old Testament and find the context to that. Happy with that? So here, Mark is referring to which prophet? Prophet's writing? Isaiah. And if we look at Isaiah, chapter 40 to 50, not now. I know that you are very interested to study the Bible. And if we go into this text of chapter 40 to 50, we will see something very interesting. In those chapters, we have two things of importance. Very important things. The first one is the Exodus concept. And this is found in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3. We can read that if you want, but just hold on to that. Let me give the big picture and then we will get into it. So, this book of Isaiah talks about the Exodus. What happened in the Exodus? Briefly and quickly, immediately. What happened? The people of Israel were in slavery and they are going to be liberated by whom? By God, through Moses. Clear? Very good. So, who is acting there in the Exodus experience? Who is active? God is active. So, God is the one who is with His people, and God is the one who is showing the way. Clear? Now we are going to read this verse and we will see that. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. So, this text has an Exodus language behind. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. So this is a language of the Exodus. Make way because my people have to go through. And that's why God is the one responsible to make a way for the people of Israel to go from Egypt into the wilderness. It's a liberation language. Liberation. So it is important for us to understand this word because we are going to see that again. It's a liberation word. It's a liberation language. And you understand and you can see because you know the context, you know the story of the Exodus, how coming in front of the Red Sea, what is happening? There's an obstacle. Who makes the way? God says to Moses, why are those people not happy? Just take your staff and touch the sea. And God made the way. And if we go back into Exodus, you will see that God will do a miracle here. What is that miracle? How He operates on that miracle? How does He make that the sea just part ways? Ah, he says, you see, that's the important part, and we are studying origins now. God is using an element that He has created Himself. He will blow a wind will come and will part those waters. And that wind will stay there until all the children of Israel will pass, and then whoosh, the water comes back, destroying those soldiers, those Egyptians. Okay? So, God is making the way. He is using a man, and in that case, it's Moses. Clear? Up to now? Very good. Now, In that same, those same chapters, we have said that chapter 40 to 50 is a theme of the Exodus or a theme of liberation. But if we look at chapter 43, verse 14, chapter 43, verse 14. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I have sent to Babylon and will bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans into the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. And this time, is it Exodus? Is it still Exodus? No? Let us read the word in that verse. He mentioned that the name here in verse 1. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon. Here they were slaves. What happened into Babylon? Were they slaves? They were in captivity, but not slaves. There's only one time they will be slaves, and no more anymore the people of Israel will be in slavery. This time they are in captivity in Babylon. And who will liberate the people of Israel from Babylon? God. And God will make a way. To do what? To liberate the people of Israel from the captivity. So you see that the principle behind is God prepares the way for the people of Egypt, from Egypt to the wilderness, as well as from Babylon back, with for them to travel. And you understand here in Babylon, who was the main, here in Exodus, who was the main person who was leading for God, on behalf of God? Moses. And here, who will be the one who will be the element used by God to for that liberation? Okay, continue on. Continue on, yes. Yes, Daniel, and then continue on. Because, hey, Nehemiah! You got the point? So which means that Daniel has been an element. And Cyrus has been an element. But who is the one who will, under whom, prophet, the liberation will come? Under Nehemiah. Clear? So therefore God is always making the way, but He is always using someone, because He wants to work with human beings like you and me for that purpose. He has a goal and objective. Make a way and move on. Liberate my people. Now I would like to come back. Now that we have seen the principle behind liberation is God. The principle behind making a way is God. Now let's go back into Mark. Mark chapter 8. Tell me, am I too quick for you? Is it okay? Can you follow the reasoning? Very good. Now, we are going to use the text from Mark. And let me tell you that Mark, this chapter of Mark and verse 37, is the nerve center of the gospel. Which means that this is the most important part of the gospel. And therefore, we must not be too quick in reading and comprehend it. Mark chapter 8, verse 27 says, Jesus went out along with his disciples to the village of Caesarea of Philippi. And on the way he questioned his disciples, saying to them, who do people say that I am? I've said that it is a nerve center of Mark. Okay? In what sense it becomes the nerve center? In the question that is being asked. Who do you think I am? Who do people say that I am? Remember this word. Who do people say that I am? And this word is very important because this I am is not only a regular verb, okay? The I am is God. But He's not revealing that immediately to them. But what the people say, I am. They told Him, saying, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets. And He continued, He insisted by questioning them, but who do you say that I am? First of all, He starts with a general concept. What people say I am. Okay, that's what you are telling me. You are telling me what you hear from other people. Then He says, what do you think? It's no more what people say, but what do you say? And then Peter, the one who has a big mouth, answered and said to Him, you are the Christ. And He warned them to tell no one about Him. So what is the revelation there? That Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And therefore, once He got that from His disciples, He said, at last, they understand. They are not leaning on what people are saying, but they have journeyed with Me, and at last, they understand that I'm the Messiah. Right? Very good. And let us then go back into the original text that I gave you in Mark chapter 1, verse 2. What does He say? If I am the Messiah, what must happen to Me? There must be someone to come and prepare the way for Me. You understand this part, the first part, as Mark starts writing, he is right into the core of the subject. He's saying that the Messiah is come. The Messiah came, and there must be somebody who will come and prepare the way. So, Christ came, and He is the way, and He is the liberator. Friends, give me your full attention. Where had Jesus chosen? What place Jesus has chosen to ask them that question? Caesarea of Philippi. Why? We are going to go from known to unknown. That's my style, okay? Let's go from known to unknown. We all know that it is Caesarea of Philippi, okay? Why had Jesus chosen Caesarea of Philippi, a Hellenistic city, to ask them or to reveal that to them? Why has He not chosen Bethlehem? Why not Nazareth? Why not Jerusalem? Why Caesarea of Philippi? Tell me. Ah, you are on the way. You're on the way. You're close to the way. Yes? Gentiles. Because there are two important facts. Two important facts. The first one is, in this place, in Caesarea of Philippi, before Christ came, this was a center of worship for Baal. So which means that the people were adoring Baal as God. Clear? As God. So they have identified this place as a place of worship for God. Their God, Baal. The second one is this Hellenistic place where you have Herod Philip, and that's why he's called Philippi, okay? Herod Philip, who will honor Augustus, Caesar Augustus, and establish this city to be a place of a cult for Augustus. So there are two places, two things happening in that place. The first one is where Baal is worshipped as God, and secondly, where Augustus is being worshipped as God. And Jesus is challenging them because He is the true God. And where will He challenge them? On the territory of the false God. Make sense? Very important for us to understand that. Why is that so important? It's because we are living in a world of sin. Okay? And we have a guarantee that in this world of sin, in this world where Satan wants to reign, Christ has established His lordship. And He is so glad, we are so glad to know that we have chosen the right God. We are not worshipping the God of Baal or the God of Augustus, but we are worshipping the right God. So you see, nothing comes by miracle, by surprise. Everything is done according to a plan from God. Now, we have talked about this way. We have talked about the Liberator. And I would like to draw your attention on this Mark 1:2. He's asking, now the text of Isaiah is talking about making a way. So we have said that God is the initiator of that, and He's using somebody, John the Baptist, to make a way. In what sense He will make a way? Will He bring bulldozers? Will He bring those machines to tar seal the place? How will He do that? How will John the Baptist prepare the way for the Messiah? Prepare the hearts. And where will He go to prepare the way? Wilderness. Why do you think that John the Baptist chose the wilderness to prepare the way? Okay. Some more information for me? Do you think that today we will have Jeff Yulden, a great evangelist, or Mark Finley, going into the wilderness bridge? What are you going to say, you church members? Oh, he's spending our money for nothing. Okay? People don't go in the wilderness. Where do we go for public evangelism? In the city, correct? But John the Baptist will go in the wilderness. Why?
He's preparing.
How is he preparing? The quiet time with God. Okay, but he prepares. In what sense he prepares? Yes? In preaching. In preaching to what? To stones and the sand in the wilderness? No. What is happening there? Yes?
First of all, really wants to follow the Lord, will come in.
Thank you. We have said that in the Bible.
Amen.
Where people will come to Him. And what is happening with Christ? That's why He is saying that when I will go, when I will be lifted up, I will bring all men with me. So therefore, it is not Him chasing those people, but the people coming to Him. That's how He's preparing the way. And on top of that, the text in Isaiah said that He is preparing a way in the wilderness. And it shows that God has no limitation. And furthermore, where was Jesus tempted? In the wilderness. He is victorious in that wilderness. Because He is picking up from what John the Baptist had done, and He is working His way. Does that make sense? Good. Now we are going to read, reading this text, we said, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. To whom Isaiah is talking? If he has said, behold, I'm sending my messenger ahead of me to prepare my way, to whom is he talking? On behalf of whom? Of God. Whereas here, he says, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. To whom Isaiah is talking? Jesus. Clear? Are we clear on that? Because John the Baptist will prepare the way of Jesus. So it is evident. Now when we talk about this way, is he Jesus? Let us turn to John chapter 14. That's right. John 14 verse 6. He will identify himself as the way, the liberator. He couldn't use this word liberator. For what reason? There is a good reason he couldn't use the word liberator, but we know that the way liberates, correct? But he couldn't use the word liberator for what purpose? Exactly, the Romans, okay? Which means that he is right there as an enemy and he's in a crossfire with the Romans. And they will try to cut his mission early. So this is not the other way. And that's the reason why he does not use the word liberator. But because we are the student of the Bible, we know that the way is the liberator, correct? So therefore, we can say that in Mark, John the Baptist will come and prepare a way for the liberator. And that's the reason why when they ask him the question, he answers, no, I'm not, but I'm preparing the way. And the one who comes, I cannot even undo the lace of his shoes. So it is not me, friends. I'm preparing only for somebody else. Look out for this somebody else. Mark, John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through the way, which is me. So remember that this way in the wilderness of Exodus, this way of Babylon was, we have said, who was the way? God. And when you look at this text now, I am the way, is Jesus applying the concept of God to himself? You see how we make a link of all these things? Now, we have to understand a few other things, and it will be in the book of Acts of the Apostles that we will be able to understand how the disciples understood Jesus. What was the name that they were giving to Jesus in their conversation? We don't have that in the Gospel. It is only this text, John 14:6. But probably they knew about this term. They were using this term. And let us look at a few texts in Acts chapter 9, verse 2. Chapter 9, this is a conversion of Paul in verse 2. Verse 1, now Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way. Both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Whom was he fighting with? The disciples. But he does not talk about disciples. Okay? But he is qualifying the disciples as those following the way. How do you think that Paul, or at this time Saul, would understand that if there was not that kind of language going on? The way, the way, the way, the way. So he identifies the way with those people who were following Jesus Christ. So therefore, this text is clear. We have no worries about that, that the way is Jesus. We have seen, he himself says, I am the way. Let us turn to chapter 19 and verse 9. 19 verse 9. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way, speaking evil of the way, before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This is Paul at Ephesus. So when he heard people talking against the way, replace the way by another name, Jesus. So which means that Paul was clear that Christ is the way. Very good. Chapter 24, verse 4. Sorry. Verse 14. But this I admit to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets. So is there a clear cut here, a clear distinction, a clear identification that Jesus is a way? It's clear. And that's the reason why the word way starts with a uppercase W. That's Christ. And he identifies those people who are talking about the way as their leader. They have been tagged as a sect. And Paul is identifying himself with that group of people, and he, in his speech to Felix, he explained that clearly. I was against the way. I was against the people who were preaching the way. But now, I am with them, and I am preaching the way. Isn't that beautiful? Very good. Do we have some time more? Because I'm not finished with my sermon. Can we continue? Okay. You will not send a note to the conference saying don't send him again? Okay. We are going to see three texts now. Three experiences where Jesus, the way, will prepare the people, and how the way, where is the way taking us? He is the way, he will liberate us. How will he do that? And if there was an exodus, if there is a Babylon, there is a repetition of the exodus today. Why? Because we are enslaved in this world of sin. And we are also in Babylon here, because we are in an environment of a control power. So God has used those two examples to tell us that he can, there is nothing impossible for him. He can liberate us from those situations. And how today, even though we are in an exodus mode, and even if we are in Babylon, in that Babylon, where Jesus will say, come out of Babylon, my people. And we can't do that by ourselves, friend. And so many times I've heard this, oh, we have to go out of Babylon. What is Babylon? Don't say. You know what is Babylon. But we ourselves, we cannot come out of Babylon. And Exodus is leaving Egypt towards the Canaan. So we are walking also towards Canaan. Can we do that alone? No. We are in the Exodus mode. We are in the Babylonian mode. But it is only through God, the way, that we are going to be liberated. That's the main objective of my presentation this morning. We cannot do that by ourselves. And that's the reason why we have to find out where would Jesus bring us to. That's the most important part. Clear? I'm going to use three examples. One in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Are we on the way to eternal life? Are we on the way of liberation? But we can't do that ourselves. And that's why this rich young ruler is clear in his mind that he can't do that by himself. He is asking, what is the means for me to inherit eternal life? What would be the response of Jesus? "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and the mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Was he okay in relationship to the law? Yes. I have been keeping that. So which means that it is my work. And then he said to him, looking at him, Jesus felt in love with him. A wife falling in love. Jesus was not gay, okay, falling in love with a man. But falling in love because he sees that there was potential there. He has started a journey. But his journey was only on works, works, works. "And one thing you lack, go and sell all your possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." We can't understand this text, friends, in our days today, unless we go back in the context. Why would Jesus say, "Go and sell everything you have and follow me"? That's right, yes. Okay. Very good. Pardon me? Question of inheritance. Yes. Good answers. But what qualifies a man in those days to be rich? Continue on. Okay, yes. He was a rich young leader. In those days, a rich is qualified as someone who possessed sheep. Okay? And when you possess sheep, can you just leave your sheep and go and follow somebody else? No. That was his holding point. And the Lord is saying, don't get attached to those things to a point where you are interested in one way, but you are holding yourself to do really what needs to be done. So that's where we have to go back in the context to find out that. Don't let anything, now for our time, don't let anything be a hurdle for you to follow Christ. So what is happening here in this text? The way, Jesus, is teaching him a lesson. What is the lesson? It is a lesson towards the eternal life. Eternal life is not having a big herd of cattle around you, where you can't. And that's the reason why also Christ will say, let your death bury their dead. Okay? Because they were excuses. So therefore the Lord says, don't use excuses. And the final point is the kingdom of God. So which means that it is not your possession that will help you to get into the kingdom of God, but it is that relationship with the liberator that will take you there. Now we have another text in the same chapter 4:10, verse 32. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. And again he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Let us replace the word Jesus by the way. What do we have here? And again he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to the... So which means that the way is taking us to a place of liberation. And what will be this place of liberation? The cross. That's the way. That's the way Christ is dealing with us human beings. Except if we take this offer, we will not be able to get the other part, which is eternal life. So the liberator here, on a worldly basis, on a material basis, on a place basis, you move from Exodus to the wilderness, you move from Babylon to Jerusalem, and the Lord is saying, you move from where you are to the cross, and through the cross, eternal life. No one can come to me except through, no one can come to the Father except through me. Through me, the liberator. So, can you see the analogy here? Very good. The last part will be, we have seen the case of the rich man. Let's look at another text in Mark chapter 10, verse 41 and 32. And this will give us an idea of what the Lord is expecting from us. Mark 10, 41 to 42, yes. Hearing this, the ten began to feel... Sorry. No, that's not the text. Here you are, Bartimaeus. Then, from verse 46, then... They came, you see, just before that we have got the rich young ruler, correct? And the Lord is saying, detach yourself from what you have and follow me. He can't detach. Here, Bartimaeus is a blind man. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, the way, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stooped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he is calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to me, Rabboni, I want to be liberated. Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. Rabboni, I want to be liberated from that impairment. Now look at those two stories. The rich young man who is asking the Lord, what can I do to inherit the kingdom? And Jesus says, leave all that you have and follow me. Clear? Now, in the same chapter, Mark is giving us the story of Bartimaeus. And he, Bartimaeus hears. He can't see. He hears. And why is he crying, Son of David? Because he has been hearing that all the time. And he said, this is it. I'm blind, but I can hear something. This must be it, the Son of David. Liberate me. Because I acknowledge you as the way. When Jesus stopped, and when Jesus said, bring him in, what was the first thing that he did? Pardon me? Okay. Let's try again. Yes, the question. On one side, the rich young ruler was saying, what must I do? Okay? Oh, liberate me. Jesus said, you are entangled with your herds. Go and sell that. Let that go. On this side, we have the beggar, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is a blind man. He doesn't have anything. And the Lord says, come. And what is the attitude of Bartimaeus? Ah! He doesn't have sheep around him to hold him. But he has something that is holding him. This cloak on him. This is the only thing that he has. So this is very important for us to understand that the only thing that you have, you get rid of it because you are winning the best Christ. So that must be our lives. We have first of all to acknowledge who is the liberator. Secondly, we have to go to that liberator. Thirdly, we have to understand that we are slave or we are in Babylon. And fourthly, we have to understand that probably all our possessions, there are things that can be a hurdle for me to get to the way. And like Bartimaeus, the blind man, let us get rid of the only thing that he had. Not worrying about what will happen to me because it is cold, I have to cover myself. No worrying about that, because he was confident that he will be restored. Okay, he will have his sight. And because he will have his sight, then there is no problem. There is no problem. Because he was really bound with this impairment for a long time. So, friends, we have to identify the way. And secondly, we have to identify where this way is taking us. We can't get rid of this part. There is no way. Because the way is taking us there. We can't jump from here to here without passing through that cross. Who is the way? What the way has done for us. So prepare the way. Christ, who is the way, is preparing this for us. May the good Lord bless us in the understanding of His word. Amen. Though we praise and glorify your name. Because in that study of the Gospel of Mark, we understand this beautiful story of Jesus Christ, the Liberator. We thank you, Lord, that Mark is a revelator of this prophecy of Isaiah. We are so thankful that we can put those two stories together and see that the same God of the Israelites in Egypt, the same God of the Israelites in Babylon, made a way to liberate them. And He is the same God who is with His people, us, to liberate us from the sinful world and to bring us to the cross. And furthermore, not stopping there on the cross, but taking us to the eternal kingdom. Bless your people in the study of your word. In Jesus, the way that we ask. Amen.